If you notice, Mark and Darren, I'm going to keep the lid on for the safety of all the new stuff we have up here. Good evening. It's good to see everybody this evening. If you're visiting with us, a special welcome to you. And I want to say something before we go too much further to anybody that's visiting with us tonight. I want you to please, please do not let the speaker or his lack of speaking keep you from coming back and visiting with us again if you have the opportunity. I'm not the normal preacher here. Not that our preacher's normal, but anyhow, please come back when you can hear some good gospel preaching for a very good gospel preacher in Russ Bowman. I guess over the last 4 to 5 years, the elders and Russ have been setting aside the last Sunday of the month for public scripture reading. We take this from example from the early church over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 13, where it says, "Till I come again, give attention to public reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." So tonight we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Also, over the last 3 or 4 years, the elders and Russ have been setting aside a theme for the year. That's taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And this month, it's on the topic of holiness. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. "But as you who are called is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" As we read these scriptures tonight, even though these chapters do not specifically mention the word holy or being holy, this is what Jesus is going to be teaching about. As he begins the Beatitudes, he's going to teach us what it means to be citizens of the kingdom. He's going to tell us that we need to be poor in spirit. We need to humble ourselves. We need to mourn over our own sinfulness, like David did back in chapter 51 of Psalms. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness only half-heartedly, or do we do it wholly? Are we merciful? Do we have a forgiving spirit? Are we pure in heart? Do we have a singleness of heart? Are we honest and true? Are we peacemakers? Do we devote ourselves to making peace by practicing those things which are above, which James over in chapter 3 tells us? And are we willing to be persecuted or reviled or spoken evil of, which comes to those who are citizens of the kingdom? Jesus tells us if we do these things, we will be comforted both now and in eternity. He's going to go on to talk about our conduct, and he uses the analogy of the salt and light. Mark 9 and 50 in Colossians 4 and 6 tells us that we have to have salt in ourselves and in our speech. You know, do we let our lights shine before men, not to be seen of men, but to glorify our God and Father in heaven? To be citizens of the kingdom, we need to be visible. We do not need to be hid under a basket. But he's also going to give us warnings throughout these chapters of the scribes and Pharisees, those who wanted to be seen of men, those who would preach one thing but practice something else. Jesus is going to teach us that we need to love our enemies, to bless those that curse us, to do good to those that hate us, and to pray for those that despitefully use and persecute us. You know, how easy is it for us to love those that love us back? But if we learn to love our enemies, that will help us to love our brethren and our families, our children and our spouses, even that much more. And Jesus is going to end chapter 5 telling us if we do this, only then will we be perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. If we're to be holy like he is holy, Jesus teaches us that we need to give, not to be seen of men again, but to be secure the praises of God. You know, as citizens of the kingdom, we need to give of our time. We need to give of our money, food, or shelter. We need to help our fellow Christians. We need to give to those that are in need. We need to help others spiritually. And in Matthew 5, as we love our enemies, we want to be able to provide for their spiritual and physical well-being as well. As citizens of the Lord's kingdom, we are charged to be rich in good works. We need to be really willing to give, not storing up in heaven and not upon earth where rust and moth destroy. And as Jesus' teachings go, he assumes if we are his disciples, then we would be charitable. He tells us we are not to worry, because worry can choke out the word of God in our lives. He gives us examples of birds. The only things birds have to worry about are these windows we put in our homes and our buildings. But he takes care of them, and that's how much more he will take care of us. And we are told to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that these worries will take care of themselves. When it comes to judging others, one of the most misunderstood passages in the scriptures, Jesus is not condemning all kinds of judging, because we as Christians are told to judge, but we are to do it righteously. We are to do it with love and mercy and not hypocritical. We need to be persistent in our prayers. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. If we give to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give to us? And the golden rule, if I've heard this one time, I heard it a million times growing up. Do unto others as they would have you do unto them. Jesus is treating us to treat others like we want to be treated. And Jesus tells us if we do that, we will treat them right. And finally, if we're to be holy like he is holy, Jesus tells us what we must do to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must enter through that narrow gate, because this is the only way that we have to eternal life. Faith only will not do it. Doing many mighty works will not do it, even if we do it sincerely and in Jesus' name. Only by doing the will of the Father and keeping his commandments will we enter the kingdom of heaven. When we get to chapter 4 of Matthew, you know, Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been tempted by the devil. He's been fasting. And he's going to begin his first Galilean ministry. And he starts to go throughout the cities, teaching in the synagogues. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's healing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. And it says that his fame is going to grow throughout all the Syria. And people are coming from everywhere to bring their sick and their afflicted. Those that are tormented or with disease. And he heals them all. And these great multitudes are going to start to follow him from Galilee and beyond. Not many people, most of you do know that Robin and I have twin girls. And one of our daughters has autism. And if we lived back then during this time, I think Robin and I would have saddled up the first donkey we could and headed to one of these towns where Jesus was, just to be close to him. Now, don't get me wrong. We would not change anything for the world now. But this is what the people were doing when they heard of Jesus. So, as Russ would say, you're welcome to follow along in your Bibles if you like, but if you prefer just to listen, then you can do that as well. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall he be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on your way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, by no means will you get out of here till you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, nor it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to the other to him also. If anyone wants to see you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. For you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to be men fasting. But to your Father who is in a secret place, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Chapter 7. Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravishing wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will be likened to him, a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So, I want us to ask these questions again to ourselves tonight. Are we poor in spirit? Do we have a humble opinion of ourselves? Do we mourn over our own sinfulness? Are we meek and gentle in spirit? Would we rather suffer injury than to afflict it? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness with your whole hearts? Are you merciful and have a forgiving spirit? Are we poor in heart? Do we have a singleness of heart? Are we honest and true? Are we peacemakers? Do we devote our lives to making peace by practicing those things which are from above? And are we willing, as citizens of the kingdom, to be persecuted, to be spoken evil of, which will come to those of us that are citizens? You know, the results of this great sermon that only takes a few minutes to read is that these people that heard it were amazed at what Jesus had taught. They realized that he had authority. Many people today claim they are amazed with the teachings of Jesus, but yet they do not obey. They choose not to obey him. So if all authority has been given to Jesus, as we read about in Matthew 28, then why don't more people follow him today? I think one of the toughest things that Jesus has to deal with is being rejected by those who he created, that he shed his blood and he died for. You know, obviously you're here tonight and you have an interest in the Word of God and our Savior of the world. But if you haven't given your life to Christ, why not choose to do that tonight? You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to confess that belief before men. You have to realize that you are a sinner, and apart from Jesus, you cannot be saved. And you need to repent of that and turn to him. And then you need to be baptized to have those sins washed away. And after you do that, then we can follow this great teacher all our life. And this is the only path that will lead us to heaven. So if you're here tonight and want to obey the gospel, or if you have any other need, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.